you set foot on foreign soil. Only this land isn't ruled by any country or government. In this land, we celebrate music. In this land, we celebrate games. In this land, we celebrate those who compose video game music. Welcome to the VG Embassy. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the VG Embassy. This is a show centered around video game music and the amazing online community of fans and podcasters that enjoy it. My name's Ed, and on each episode, I'll take the role of Prime VGM Minister and invite a guest VG Ambassador onto the show to share with us their own video game music culture. Or I might share a part of my culture on a solo show. Today is Flip the Core with Aaron, and this is a blind listen episode, our second blind listen episode so far. This one is a Patreon reward for Cameron Worma. He came up with this soundtrack for Aaron and I to listen to. Both of us have never heard of the game or heard the soundtrack before, so it's going to be a fun trip. Aaron, thank you so much for joining me for this little experiment here.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me. It's been a while. I think we've done two other shows together, right? We did an episode of Pixel Tunes Radio back when we were talking about unreleased games, and then I think we did a special feature on, I think, Mega Drive music, Sega Genesis and Mega Drive stuff over on Impulse.
Yeah, it was an intro to FM. That was a lot of fun, too. So, yeah, it has actually been quite a while. I think you had just released your first chiptune album as Daya when that Impulse Project
2016
episode came out, right?
Wow, yeah, it's been a while.
So what have you been up to since then?
I've done a lot of collaborations, and I've been on numerous compilations now. I was on YM2017, which is a physical Sega Genesis cartridge with LEDs built into it. I was on that with Dread, who did the intro theme to this podcast. Mm-hmm. Dread and I were also on several other projects together, including FM Rangers, which is kind of a deal where various FM musicians get together and combine their efforts into one song, but no one really knows what the other person's going to do. So everyone would get like a 45-second chunk of the song and compose in their own style.
That's awesome.
And somehow try to make it all fit together. which I don't know how it happened, but the first one we did especially just blew me away. So we did that, and then we actually released a follow-up to Trevin's album with Groovemaster 303 called FM Possible 2 with, I think, about five or six other guys, just notable Genesis composers, modern day composers. And it was a blast. That got released on the Cheap Beats label, which you can still buy a physical copy of that on CD, or you can go listen to it digitally right now. Besides that, I just entered a track with my buddy Zantilla. If you haven't heard of Zantilla, he's an amazing musician, prog and jazz and hip hop and all that. We collaborated on a track for Chiptunes Equals Win Volume 7.
Which, yeah, that just came out recently, too.
It just came out a couple days ago, actually. And it is one of my absolute favorite tracks I've ever worked on. And the name of the song is Wakanda Sykes. And it's a wild ride, is what I can say about it. So basically, with that track, Adrian wrote the song. And then I took his concepts and I said, well, why don't I try and rebuild this inside a Sega Genesis tracker? So that's what I did.
That's awesome.
So I took his ideas and I just completely converted them and then added my own melodies and ideas into Deflamask, which is a Windows multi-console tracker that does Sega Genesis music. But what I noticed was his chords were so thick and jazzy that I would have had a hard time without just doing a total like Tim Fallon arp fest of fitting all of those notes into the chords, which Tim Fallon Arp Fest is great, guys. But what I decided to do was Deflamask actually has a function in it that lets you sync up two separate instances of the program at once. So what I did was I said, okay, this is going to be like a Super Genesis track. It's going to be 2x Sega Genesis. And I think when I told Trevin this, he's like, why didn't you just use there's the arcade FM that you can use, which could have done something similar. I said, well, I love composing Sega Genesis music so much that I just wanted to stick to that format, but we'll just double it up to make it extra thick.
So it's like the YM5224 instead of the 2612.
Love it. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And so I did that, and then I tossed it back to Adrian, and it's amazing. I just gave him all the stems, and what he did was he combined what I did with what he did to bring it to a cohesive whole. And
that's
so
amazing.
Kind of mixing and matching the best parts of each version of the track.
That's cool. That's cool. We'll have to put a link to that in the show notes because I'm sure everybody's going to want to hear what that sounds like. So you've had a busy year, sir.
Yeah, I just played a show here locally in town just a few days ago at the South Texas Institute of Pop Culture. And it was great. Got to introduce a lot of people to chiptune who'd never heard of it. Playing music off of Sega Genesis. I've got an EverDrive that plugs in where I can play Genesis tracks, but it also plays WAV files. So I can I can play my NES and TurboGrafx-16 compositions as well. And then I'll just jam over what I'm playing and do solos and whatnot and dance like an idiot.
That EverDrive X7 is quite a piece of work. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's worth every penny to me. It hasn't given me any problems at all. And it can play Sega Master System games. It can play, Sega CD.
32X, it's got 32X. All the capabilities.
Yeah, so with the Sega CD, I mean, you can use it as a RAM cartridge.
Excellent. Yeah, I've still got the old EverDrive MD, so I'm looking to upgrade at some point. But, I can play my Genesis games as I want to right now, so not in any hurry to do that yet until I start, I don't know. Maybe I'll just put the podcast on the Genesis.
Hey, I've thought of doing that.
And I'll just play that live.
You could. It, honestly, the quality loss isn't that terrible. No one's actually, when I play this stuff live, especially if I'm playing like a high fidelity track, no one said, wow, there's like a significant quality loss. No one's really said that, because what's happening is to get it to play on the Sega Genesis, the EverDrive has its own built-in stereo DAC, whereas the normal sample playback on the Sega Genesis is mono. You can only play it, left, center, or right. You can't have it on the full spectrum. With a stereo DAC, it plays the whole spectrum, and so it plays the tracks just like you would hear them, but it basically, I think it's 8,000K unsigned waveforms is what I have to convert it to, but it sounds better than, say, like the NES, and also better than the typical Sega Genesis game with the really scratchy sample sound.
Yeah, that's very cool. Didn't even know it was possible to do that. So let's say we get into our first track. We've been talking for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, like I said before, this game is called Flip the Core. We do know from what Cam has told us, this is a DSiWare game. So it came out on the download only for the Nintendo DS. The composer is Bart Roymans.
What a name. I love it.
Roijmans. So I'm not even sure how to pronounce that. This is all I know. I don't know what kind of game it is. I don't know when it came out. I don't know who published it or coded it or what it looks like. So we've got 6 pretty short tracks to get through. So this might not be a very long podcast, but we'll see how much we have to talk about. So first up is title screen from Flip the Core by, I'm going to say Bart Roymans. That just sounds like I should pronounce it. If I'm wrong, then somebody will correct me, but I'll call him that from now on. Bart Roymans, title screen, Flip the Core. Let's give it a listen. I'm excited for this.
All right.
We'll be right back. the title theme from Flip the Core by Bart Reumans. Before we go any further, I wanted to say, because I forgot to say it at the beginning of the show, Cam Werma specifically requested Aaron's presence on this show for this blind listen. And I'm kind of starting to understand why. I think this music is kind of up your alley, Aaron. Am I right on this?
Absolutely. I am actually... We talked about this just briefly off air while we were listening to the track. And one of the things I noticed, and you noticed too, was it has a demo scene vibe to it.
Absolutely.
And that is one of my primary styles that I kind of target. You can't say, I guess, there's one demo scene style. But I can tell that this composer likes to stick to the roots of kind of that square waves. You got simple sawtooths, but there's a lot of portamento. There's a lot of sliding between notes.
Yeah.
And a driving beat and 80s drums and all these things where I could imagine someone doing a remix of this on the Amiga very easily.
For sure. And especially, you know, that lead kind of soloing keyboards has a very bright, happy sound to it. And the backing instruments are maybe a little bit darker, a little bit more grindy. So you often in like Amiga music get that kind of dichotomy between the lead instruments and the rhythm backing instruments on Amiga demo scene tracks too. So that's what definitely reminded me of that. And yeah, it got kind of almost like a synthwave feel, even though this was probably released before synthwave really got popular. So maybe a little ahead of its time and being retro.
Yeah,
that makes any sense.
It's retro-futuristic. It's almost like if a demo scene musician heard Metroid and decided to make it a little more upbeat.
Yeah.
It's kind of, yeah. It's what I feel like, because I feel like we're in an unknown planet or out in space maybe. Maybe we're exploring some sort of cavern on a foreign planet. And because it's not like a space shooter where you've got a driving tempo that's really fast. I feel like this one is more of a thinking game at this tempo it's at. I think it's just the right tempo where it's probably going to be a puzzle game of
some
sort.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, especially considering the name too, Flip the Core. It sounds like you're manipulating shapes or something like that. I envision kind of like a night sky, lots of stars, and maybe some flat shaded neon style polygons, kind of rotating like asteroids or something in an asteroid field. Yeah, I think we're kind of on the same level with that imagery there.
I almost thought of Gradius at first because I thought, shoot the core, you know, like
yep.
That sort of thing. But then I realized, okay, this is probably not a space shooter unless the title song is just a fake out and then the next songs are going to be a lot faster.
Yeah, very true. Well, with that being said, let's listen to the first level theme and we'll get an idea for what the gameplay of this game might be like. All right, so this is level one of Flip the Core, composed by Bart Reumans. We'll be right back. Level one from Flip the Core from Bart Reumans. I was not thrown a curveball. I think the music sounded in line with what the title theme was all about, but maybe a little quirkier, maybe is, I guess, the best word for it. I don't know. How would you describe it, Aaron?
Yeah, I would say quirkier by virtue of the fact that they added in the Euro-style rapidly switching notes, better known as arpeggios, or like 64th note arpeggios, which is very common in Commodore 64 and Amiga music, especially out of Europe. And it's something that was done in those days to overcome the limitations of the sound chips, where you could get a full chord on Amiga, but especially in demo scene, they carried over the technique of the Commodore 64 to give you the illusion of a chord with the rapidly switching notes. And I thought that made it, the soundtrack, I think it sounds more fun with that in there. But it's definitely going to give it a quirkier sound than your typical puzzle game.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially since, you know, on Nintendo DS hardware, like, arpeggios aren't necessary. It was definitely a creative choice, and probably a callback to the older era of video game music. So there's some sort of nostalgia that this composer has for probably older C64 ZX Spectrum music that really heavily relied on those arpeggios to make the music. I also got kind of, like I said, Euro style, maybe kind of like, I always call it the Alberto Gonzalez signature bounce. It had that kind of like an uplifting, bouncy feel to it. I don't know, for a first level, I'm trying to envision what kind of game this could be. You know, it was very, very fast paced. And then, like you said, towards the end, those very soft bell pads, very elongated bell pads come in.
Yeah, and then you're like, is this Spencer Nielsen composing Sega CD music?
Exactly. So, and then, but the drums don't care, and they're just all bump, 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 bump. And you've got the slow music going on over it. So maybe that percussion that doesn't let up has something to do with it. You know, maybe there's you're on an auto-scrolling level. Something's always going at the same pace.
Do you think this might have a musical element to it, like Lumines?
Not necessarily a musical element, but the pace of the game might... Either the music was created to follow the pace of the game or vice versa. You know, it's not like the music is going to change depending on what you're doing. It's not dynamic like that, but maybe there's something that auto-scrolls or pieces that fall at a certain rate in time with the music. You kind of feel what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I could see that.
You're not affecting the music. The music isn't affecting the game, but they kind of go in sync with each other.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. Do you think Rez does that sort of thing? Or do you think everything's kind of tied together more so in that game?
Kind of. With Rez, I mean, you're shooting, and then the bullets are timed so that it hits the enemies on the beat, and it all... I mean, I guess it could be like that.
Yeah, I guess in Rez, it's quantized so that when you shoot at enemies, it lies exactly on the beat that it has to line up with the song to create music.
Yeah. And I don't think that's necessarily the case here. I just kind of think that, like I said, those drums keep steady because maybe there's some element of the game that relies on some sort of rhythm.
I will say I like this composer's sense of space and creating little moments within the track that create interest. Mm. Because I've heard plenty of soundtracks where it's just the same thing over and over and over again. There's definitely a dynamic feel to this music that it doesn't sound, you know, it's DSiWare, okay, it's a very short soundtrack, but I can tell the composer put his heart into this.
Yeah, for sure.
It sounds better than what you would get in a budget release normally.
Yeah, and I like to use the term, it sounds longer than it is. You know, the song's only a minute and about 10 seconds, but because your ears are so interested while you're listening to it, it feels like the song, at least to me, it feels like the song is longer than it really is, because there's lots of different parts, and when you think back on it, you're like, man, they fit all that into a minute and 10 seconds? That's crazy. You know, you don't really understand how they do that, so... But that's always a mark of a good song for me, if it feels longer than it really is.
Absolutely.
So, I think we've said all there is to say about this one. Want to move on to the next track?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, this one is coincidentally titled Level 2. So let's take a listen to Flip the Chord Level 2 from Bart Reumans. level 2 theme from Flip the Core from Bart Reumans. We were talking about this while the music was playing, and I mentioned that it sounded a lot like a KeyGen track. And if you're not familiar with what a KeyGen track is, if you've ever, I don't know, downloaded something like Photoshop and wanted to try it out for a little while without necessarily paying Adobe for it.
Demo mode.
You might download what's called a KeyGen, which creates a serial number that you could plug into the application to unlock its features. And many of them from some cracking groups out there will contain demo scene music that has a particular style. Like KeyGen music always seems to have kind of this, it sounds a lot like the music we just listened to. It's got a very kind of even tone to it, and it's a little more mellow than I guess what you would hear on level one.
Yeah.
So yeah, would you agree with that, Aaron? This sounds kind of like what you'd get?
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, it definitely has a KeyGen sound. I will say I did like the addition of, I think he added some pads in there that kind of added a fifth, getting all musical here. It adds a fifth that adds an extra layer to what you're hearing, and I do like that. I would say this track isn't as memorable as the first one, and maybe that's because we kind of think of it as the KeyGen style, which is fine. But it's, I would say it's probably not going to be my favorite track off this album so far. It's good, but
it's not as dynamic.
It's not super memorable. Yeah, it's not as dynamic, but it's definitely competent.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the first level track had at least a couple of separate, very discernible segments to it before it looped. And this one tends to kind of keep the same kind of feel going through the whole thing.
They can't all be bangers.
Right, exactly.
The only other thing was off air we were talking about how with some DS games, sometimes the composer would actually track the music out in something, you know, like a Impulse Tracker or Schism or something that did tracked music basically and convert it over to something the DS would read. And you could actually pull this music off of, you could rip it from DS games, the way I understand it. But you're saying you couldn't find a way to do that with this.
Yeah, most DS games use sequenced music. So similar to, a little more complex than what the SNES used, or, like the sequenced music in Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation, stuff like that. It was music that was, you get a sound bank full of instruments, and then it would be almost like MIDI. Inside the DS, and you could, there are ways to easily take a Nintendo DS ROM, run it through a program, and it will automatically extract those sequenced music pieces and let you play those files. This game, however, did not let you do that. So yeah, what Aaron was saying was maybe the composer used a mod tracker program, Amiga style music basically, and imported it somehow using a proprietary music engine into the DS to get this music going. Just a theory. We might learn more about that at the end of the show when I do some research to find out exactly what kind of game this is and who the composer was. So we'll keep that in the back of our heads, and we'll continue on to the level 3 song.
All right.
All right, let's take a listen to that one. That was level 3 from Flip the Core. I am constantly surprised every time we're listening to a new track. That one started off, I think, Aaron, you said it first, it sounded a lot like Sticker Bush Symphony from Donkey Kong Country.
David Wise.
And then this arpeggiated bass came in and kind of doubled the tempo of the track all of a sudden. We're like, whoa. And then this extra layer came in, and would you say it was almost like Dean Evans' soundtrack to Waterworld on the SNES? So
yeah, that melody, maybe the chord progression too.
Yeah, and all of those songs kind of had like a water feel to it, and I was kind of like, as I was listening, and then some of those sound effects came in, I almost felt like this might be some sort of an underwater level. I don't know. So again, now that we've heard 3/4 of the level tracks from this game, do you have any idea what kind of game it might be, or any better kind of a vision of what you might be seeing on the screen when you listen to this?
Whew, it's tricky.
Yeah.
Flip the Core makes me think it's some sort of single screen puzzle game, but maybe you rotate around the center of the screen.
Okay.
Or maybe, I'm trying to think why you would be flipping the core.
Maybe it's like, maybe the level's like a platter and you can like flip to either side of it, and like a day night scenario, like an Ikaruga thing where there's like black and white. I don't know. I'm just spitballing.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's so many different wild ideas. All I can think is space and maybe underwater.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Some unique indie puzzle concept.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a clone. I don't think it could be a clone of something, but with the name Flip the Core, it sounds like a unique indie puzzler.
Yeah. Or if it was like a platformer style game, there would be some sort of, maybe you could like reverse gravity or flip the level somehow or something like that. Some sort of mechanic that kind of like Fez or something, which lets you use a new perspective on the gameplay or something. I don't know. Interesting.
It almost makes me think, too, with the demo scene KeyGen style soundtrack, that it could harken back to some sort of old school gameplay.
Mm.
But that's not always true. There have been soundtracks before where I think it was, there was a game that was a lot like Punch-Out, and I've got it. Wade Hickson's Counterpunch Boxing on Game Boy Advance.
Yes.
Actually has some very demo scene sounding music in it, but it's definitely not a European style game. It's modeled directly after Punch-Out.
Interesting.
But there's a song in there that is very heavily demo scene.
Interesting. Yeah, I've heard of the game, but I've never heard the soundtrack, so I'll have to check that one out. All right, so I guess we're saying we've got no solid vision as far as it goes in terms of gameplay. So we've got one more level track to go.
Maybe this will help.
And then one more track after that, and we're done. So let's take a listen to level 4. We'll be right back. The Core by Bart Roymans. This one flipped us for a loop a little bit. Started off.
I know. I was about to bust out with the glow sticks.
Yeah. Got kind of key Jenny at the beginning, and then with some leads came in, which were very pleasant, and then it got really, really layered towards the end, and it kind of almost completely changed the sound of the track, which made me like it even more. So. I was originally thinking that this might have been kind of like a level 2, very moderately paced, moderately toned song, and was very surprised at the direction it went.
Yeah, same here. I liked the rhythmic interplay and the call and response of the almost the broken chords, like the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like a repeated effect. And then the delayed melody was a very nice touch. And at first, like I said, I thought it was going to be like, you know, early 90s KeyGen techno style. but it evolved, and it kind of blew away my expectations. It's still a very short track, but I'm going to guess it's because this is probably a retro style game of some sort.
Yeah. I think I know. This is a composer who knows what he's doing. He knows how to surprise you, pleasantly surprise you in his music, which is not always easy to do. And he knows how to evolve songs, and then also knows how to bring them back for the loop. So he's probably got some other video game compositions to his name, or is a big gamer himself. Maybe he's very experienced with video game music. You know, it's not always easy for a regular composer to create loops in music, because that's not what you do a lot of the time. So I like the way that each of these songs kind of roll back into the beginning, and you can listen to it a couple times before maybe even realizing that you've heard three or four loops before it starts to, you know, visibly repeat in your head.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyways, those were very, very cool level themes. We've got one more track left, and this one is called Boss. So this is the only other clue we have as far as gameplay is concerned. If it's a puzzle game, it might not necessarily have a boss, unless it is an action-based puzzle game.
I don't know. Arkanoid had a boss, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But that's kind of an action puzzler, too. You know, a puzzle game that requires reflexes.
True.
I don't know. Let's take a listen to this boss theme. We'll see what it sounds like. And in the meantime, I will also do a little bit of research on the game. And when we come back, we'll pull back the curtain, figure out what kind of game it is, and see how close we came with our predictions. So, again, this is Boss Theme from Flip the Core by Bart Roymans. That was the boss theme from Flip the Core from Bart Roymans on the Nintendo DSiWare portion of the DS operating system, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, so this one felt more like an ending theme to me than a boss theme. I think you were...
It's almost like the boss broke up with his girlfriend.
Yes.
And you were trying to go over and console him about it, because it was definitely more sad, and it wasn't what I was expecting out of a boss theme.
Maybe the boss's core has been flipped, or his relationship has been flipped on its side, and he's so upset right now. Who knows?
I wish I knew.
Yeah, but we'll never know unless we can figure out a way to download and play DSi games, because I don't even know if those are available online anymore.
So there was a special version of the DS, which was the DSi, and that was how you would download the games.
Right.
But I think they took that service down.
Exactly.
So there are means and ways, just like they took WiiWare down, there are ways to get those games. Someone has backed them up. But as you know, Nintendo has gone after a lot of the big name sites, and a lot of the big name sites hosting ROMs and such are starting to shutter.
Yep.
And remove content to prevent them from being their pants being sued off by Nintendo. Like, because recently here, Nintendo went after Love ROMs and sued the owner for some crazy amount, like $20 million.
Yeah, that and Cool ROMs, and now all the other sites are shuttering because they're basically scared. So it's making games like these DSiWare games harder and harder to find. And, you know, it's unfortunate. Hopefully there comes a better way of playing classic games like this that's both legal and not price exclusionary or limited to specific hardware that's almost impossible to get nowadays. You know, it's probably a story for a different podcast. I know
Hey, it ties into the whole keygen thing.
It does.
Sometimes it's the pirates that are preserving the software that might not be known about, or, you know, it might fall into obscurity.
Yeah. And we did touch on this subject a little bit on our first Patreon episode. I talked with my buddies Joe and Todd about this whole ROM fiasco and what's going on. So if you're a Patreon member and you want to go check that out, you can definitely listen to that podcast. So as far as this game goes, I did a little bit of research while we were listening to the last track and found some very interesting things. So, we were kind of right about some things and very wrong about other things. I know we had originally ruled out the concept that it was something like a shoot 'em up or like a run-and-gun action game or something. Turns out it is a shoot 'em up. I was very surprised to see that it was a horizontally scrolling shmup. And I was right. I did say something about Fez and flipping the screen or flipping a core. It has screen or level flipping gameplay to it, where if you're piloting your ship left to right and you come across an impassable part of the level, you can flip the screen and you might be able to find a way around that obstacle on a different angle of the level. So... very cool, kind of like Fez meets Gradius or R-Type, that kind of thing. What did you think about the actual gameplay video that we watched, Aaron?
I thought it was pretty fascinating. I guess I was right about there being a unique mechanic to the game. Not so much the style of the game. I thought it was going to be some sort of puzzle game. There is a puzzle mechanic to it.
Yeah.
But it's very much so a shoot 'em up, and it's not exactly in space. It's almost like an abstract version of space.
Yeah.
But the composer kind of went for that vibe, which kind of took me there. I will say, I'm going to throw out a crazy little tidbit. We think about Fez, and we think about this game having this flip mechanic. But did you know the game E.T. on the Atari 2600 is actually set on a cube?
Really?
Oh, blow your mind there.
Because of the way that you can wrap around the screens?
Yep, the level layout is literally a cube.
That's very interesting.
And that made me think of this game for some reason, just because of the whole flipping around the corners of the screen.
Yeah, it's like playing a shoot-em-up on a cube. Very interesting. And so the graphics are also very squared. They do have kind of like modern post-processing effects on them, but everything was very... squarish looking, so it did kind of have that retro feel, which I think fit with the feel of the music quite a bit. So, you know, it's very possible that the composer looked at the art for the game or saw, you know, an earlier build and decided to go that route after seeing the game, and it wasn't just the him just writing some random music and then fitting it into this game. I think the visuals and the music fit up pretty well together.
And I'm guessing that you looked up the composer and said he was a fan of the MSX, and was he involved in the demo scene at some point?
Yeah, so he spent the early 90s composing music for games and graphic demos for the MSX. And in 1992, he finished his first game soundtrack for a non-commercial project. So, and you said that the MSX was really big in the Netherlands, and he does happen to be from the Netherlands, so he was part of that Dutch MSX scene that I didn't know existed until right now.
So there's one, I'll throw this out there. I made friends with this guy from the Netherlands who had overseen some projects having to do with the MSX. And then eventually that Wade Hickston's Counterpunch boxing game I told you about. But he told me about there's a game on the MSX that you have to go try out that is part of the Dutch demo scene called Blade Lords. You can never look that game up. You like Bubble Bobble at all,
yeah,
but with swords.
Yeah, cool.
And maybe King's Valley, kind of a mix of those two games. And it's a homebrew game, but very, very good.
Sounds cool. And that's on the MSX, you said?
Yeah, it's on the MSX too. And it's a freely available game you can look up and play on your emulator or on an actual MSX too if you have one.
Awesome. Very, very cool. So, so other than the MSX scene, Bart Roymans has worked for Atari, Disney, Vicarious Visions, First Playable Productions, Engine Software, and PlayLogic. Bart joined the Engine Software team, and he's worked there for over 12 years as their in-house composer. So he's kind of like the Dave Wise of Engine Software, I guess, from the earlier days of Rare. Basically, if Engine has done a game, Bart has probably done the music for it.
Are there any other games that he's done that we might know of?
Yes.
Or has he done, like, licensed games?
He's done licensed games. So we're looking at Ben 10 Omniverse on the 3DS that came out in 2012. He did the music for Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 on the 3DS that came out in 2013. Mahjong 3D Warriors of the Emperor on the 3DS that came out in 2011. State Shift on the PSP, which was kind of like a battle racing game, and that came out in 2007. And these are all from Engine Software. So these are all games that he was the in-house composer for.
So these aren't like these aren't blockbusters or anything like that.
No, not by any stretch.
But they're games that sell. And so kids will hear these games, you know, they'll play these games and maybe they'll enjoy the music.
Yeah.
Because he's a pretty solid composer.
Yeah. And I'm definitely looking forward to listening to more of his music too, because I want to see what kind of soundtracks he creates other than this demo scene stuff, because he's got some music here from just regular albums that are not game related, and he's got one called Enchanted Forest, which he describes as miscellaneous orchestral soundtracks, one called Equilibrium, which came out in 2016, which he describes as having electronic and orchestral soundscapes, and then last year he released an album called Radix, and that's synthesizer and hybrid orchestral scores. So he really seems to like his orchestral music, and he seems to like blending electronics and orchestral. So I think we heard one facet of this composer's oeuvre here. You know, we were hearing all the synthesizer and electronic stuff, but he's got an orchestral side to him too, which might be neat to explore on a different podcast, or, you know, if you guys want to listen to him on your own, you can go check it out. I'll put a link to the composer's website in the show notes. It's just spiresound.nl, and that'll be his webpage. You can go right to the music tab up top, and there's three or four samples per release that he has that you can listen to his music right in the browser, so it's very easy to find it, and you can check out more of his tunes there. So, speaking of tunes and where we can find people, Aaron, now that we're wrapping up the show, where can we find you on the web if we want to hear more of your music or listen to some of your podcasts?
I will start with the music. You can find all of my major releases over on dyamusic.bandcamp.com, and then I release stuff on SoundCloud. On SoundCloud, it's soundcloud.com/Hiya, H-I-Y-A, Daya,
D-Y-A.
Absolutely. And if you want to listen to my podcast, the most active one has been Genesis Gems, which is a game-by-game podcast I do with Nick Stevens on the Retro Junkies Network, where we tackle a Sega Genesis game. And then on Patreon, we actually cover games outside of the Sega Genesis that might be modern Sega, or they might be other systems like the Dreamcast or the Game Gear or Sega Saturn. So always check that out. And I also do Retro Obscura, which actually just came back, and we released a new episode finally after, I think, a 6-month hiatus.
Yeah.
But all the old episodes are available on Google Play at the moment. That's the best place to listen to those. And then new episodes are on their own feed called Retro Obscura Remastered.
Yes, and I got a chance to listen to a little bit of Remastered. I haven't finished the whole thing yet, but you guys do Zelda for the first one, which is interesting because normally you guys are covering the most obscure of the most obscure, and here you are with Zelda. But you go into a lot of really cool, kind of obscure, like fan games or clones of Zelda that I didn't even know existed.
Games.
So yeah.
Yeah, I think the funniest one is a game called The Quest for Felda, which is a total Zelda ripoff made for the Tandy Color Computer, which just look it up on YouTube. There's a video of it, and it's just hilarious how much of a ripoff of Zelda it is.
That is absolutely amazing. So yeah, I definitely want to listen to more of that and find out more. I will leave links to Aaron's music and his podcasts in the show notes, so go check them out. Aaron is actually one of the guys that helped me out when I was first starting Pixel Tunes Radio and getting the show to sound better, helping me out, like setting up the Facebook group. So we've known each other for quite a long time. He's been a huge help to a lot of people in the VGM podcast scene. So he definitely deserves all the respect that I know I give him.
And I just want to say, you might hear some more VGM stuff from me if I can sneak it in on Retro Obscura. I'm thinking about adding in my own little segment. It won't be anything as extensive as VG Embassy, but it'll just be my little slice of VGM.
Awesome. That'll be fun to listen to too. I'd love to hear your take on this stuff. So, and I do want to get you back as a regular VG ambassador, so we'll come up with a fun show that you and I can do, and we'll get a full-length show going. That'll be great.
Great.
So, I want to thank Indira J for the art and Trevin Hughes, otherwise known as Dread, for the podcast theme song. You can find the VG Embassy on iTunes. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave us a rating. That helps us give us more visibility so more people who are looking for VGM-related podcasts can check us out. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/TheVGEmbassy. We're on Twitter at TheVGEmbassy, and you can find us on Instagram at TheVGEmbassy. For those of you who don't want to join our social media pages, maybe you have a Discord identity and you want to head to our chat over on Discord, you can head right to our homepage, thevgembassy.com. At the top, just click on the Discord link and you'll be brought right to our Discord server where you can sign in. A lot of people chatting on there almost constantly now. The Messenger has been on there, the Dyad has been on there, lots of the VG ambassadors I've had on past shows, plus friends and other Patreon members. We all hang out there and chat and share video game music with each other. Speaking of Patreon, I want to thank my Patreon patrons, as always, the Tourists, Chris Murray, Cameron Childs, and Shoryu Kenny, the VG Emissaries, Scott McKelhone, Chris Myers, Donovan Orofino, and Ben the Dyad Dishman, our audio attaché level, Cameron Werma, who is getting his Patreon reward today, and Carlos, who will be hopefully submitting a Blind Listen soundtrack for us to listen to soon, and our VG Ambassador, Alex the Messenger. So that's all I've got for the show for today. I hope you guys like the soundtrack. Big thanks to Cameron Werma for coming up with this cool little slice of video game music that probably would have gone right over both of our heads had you not brought it to our attention. So thank you for that. And thank you, Aaron, for coming on. I know it's a short little show. Like I said, we'll get you on for a regular show at some point soon. I really enjoyed listening to your insights as a composer on this music. It was a lot of fun to have you on.
I appreciate it, and I want to thank everyone for listening to this show. I think it's wonderful, and I think what Ed's doing here is a fantastic idea, and just thank you for having me on, Ed.
Oh, thanks, dude, and yeah, definitely go check out Genesis Gems and Retro Obscura. Aaron is a pro podcaster. Both of his shows are amazing and lots of fun. So until next time, we will see you later on the VG Embassy. Peace out.